teaching lesson here this morning?
Yes.
Feel like teaching. Amen. Feel like teaching. Very familiar setting of Scripture, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 is where we're going to go first. And then we will go to Luke chapter number 24. Acts chapter 2, 38, and then Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. There, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, the rest of you say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, very familiar setting of Scripture. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then flip over back a few pages there, just a little ways, to Luke 24 and 44. Luke 24 and 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in Psalms concerning me, Jesus speaking. Then opened he their understanding. This is key. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated.
For the sake of title, I'm just going to simply title the message this morning, this teaching, and that is going to be truth or tradition. How many of you this morning have traditions in your family? Certain traditions. We're not going to talk about all of them, of course, but there's certain traditions that you've done as a family, or you've been passed down from grandma and grandpa, or there's just certain things that traditionally you do. And it's not necessarily bad, but it's not necessarily we want to get, well, this is the way we do it. Well, there's some things that are a matter of opinion. But when we talk about truth, truth is not a matter of opinion.
Right.
It's not relative to what we think or how we feel.
Right.
But it is according to the Word of God. I want to take you on a little journey here just for a few moments and mention a few things here to engage your mind. In history, there was a man by the name of Aristotle. Anybody know who that man is? You heard about him before? You read about him before? Well, Aristotle taught that heavier objects fall faster than lighter ones. Because he was one of the greatest thinkers of his time, all the people believed him. And after 200 years of people believing this, another man by the name of Galileo called for men to learn this principle differently than what they had been taught. He called them to his tower, and he took a weight of 5 kilos and a weight of 1 kilo. And at the same time, he dropped them over the edge. And to much surprise of everyone, they fell at the same rate. But the power of belief in man's wisdom was so strong that the people that had learned Aristotle's way refused to believe what Galileo had just shown them. because they had believed for so long and had been passed down for so long, it became a woven part of the very fiber of their thoughts and everything that of the way that they had thought. So they, even after being shown, and there's a purpose for what I'm saying, even after being shown, the truth of the matter is, they all fall the same. They would not embrace it because traditionally they had been taught otherwise. All right? And one of the, another book that I've read little bits and pieces of, it's called Strong Men in Tough Times. He stated this: a person's beliefs hold the greatest potential for good or harm in life. Good or harm. The potential that is in your belief system. I have been on many occasions, even in teaching a Bible study, where I have presented some facts, if you will, in the Word of God, and have had people say, "Well, I see what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, and I see it there in black and white. But because my grandma didn't believe that, I'm not going to either." And I want to say, why? Why would you continue on in a tradition that is not true, even after you admit to the fallacy of what you've been taught? Why would these men that saw for themselves a 1 ounce and a 5 ounce object fall from the sky at the same rate of speed, but still believe in Aristotle's theory that something lighter falls slower than something faster? Why? It doesn't make any sense. This same man relayed another story that has been repeated over and over again. It's a story about a ship, and the captain on that ship, who one night saw what looked like to be another ship. And it was heading straight towards him. He had the signalman blink to the other ship, "Change your course, 10 degrees to the south." The reply came back, "Change your course, 10 degrees to the north." And again the response from the captain of the ship said, "I am a captain, and I say change your course to the south." The reply came back, "I am a seaman first class, change your course to the north." The captain, now being very angry, singled back and said, "I say, change your course to the south. I am a battleship." The reply came back and said, "Change your course to the north. I am a lighthouse."
All right. Pretty good.
You can argue all you want, and you can try to pull rank, and you can try to pull all kinds of things and say, "I'm right." But argue with the lighthouse there, buddy.
Right.
You're going to find yourself broken on the rocks. No matter what you think, and I know the audience that I'm preaching to, and because we're all humanity, there are many of us that think they know how to do it. They think that they know how to live. And they think because they never had authority in their life, they can do whatever they want to do. But sometime, at some place in life, they're going to crash on the rocks. And they're going to recall some things that some people of much greater wisdom than they themselves, especially those teenagers in young 20s, they think they know everything.
Right.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. They think they know everything. And then some of them are getting mad at me right now, but I don't really care. It really doesn't matter.
Bless the Lord.
Because I was there too, and I know how I thought at 20 years old. I know what I thought at 22 years old. I thought I knew everything. Nobody could tell me anything. And why? Hey, I made it this far all by myself. I don't need you to tell me what to do. Right. Yep. And that's the attitude, especially more so of this generation than ever before. Right. I can do it on my own. Well, then comes along life and hits them real hard, and all of a sudden they ain't got all the answers.
That's right.
And they're floundering and wavering so horribly and can't get their balance or their equilibrium. They don't know what to do, and things are in a tailspin and going out of control. And then they all of a sudden want to reach out to somebody for some help. You can talk about what your course of action is and your course of direction is and what you're going to do. Well, I've just been around the horn long enough and been around the world long enough to understand that all of our best laid plans often don't come to fruition near like we intended them to. Can I get an amen for some gray hairs out there? That you've lived a while and you go, you know, I laid this plan out pretty perfect in life, but man, there sure were a lot of things that upset my apple cart.
Yes.
I realized that down through time and down through situations in life, but I ain't near as smart as I thought I was.
Huh?
And we get back into the Word of the Lord and we look at the Word of the Lord, and it's the only anchor. It's the only thing that stays true. It's the only thing that stays the course straight. Told somebody just the other day, and we were talking about this very thing, and how so many times we've been taught all kinds of things, but the truth remains the same. I say this to everybody in every Bible study that I teach also, that our emotions go up and down. We can have a bad morning. Some of y'all may have had one of those this morning. We can have a bad day. We can have a bad weekend or a bad week. But what's awesome is we know that the Word of God is truth.
Yes.
I said the Word of God is truth. And whether my emotions go up and down, the Word of God remains constant. It gives me direction for my attitude. It gives me direction for my thought processes. It gives me direction for everything that I need. Right? And so I have this that's constant. My emotions go up and down. I have good days. I have bad days.
Yep.
I have days that I'm elated with excitement and joy and just, man, almost giddy. But then there's other days that I'm weeping and I'm crying and I'm torn to pieces because of circumstances. But this always remains. So no matter where I'm at in life, this remains the same.
Yeah.
I told people time and time again, every answer that you need is in that book. Had some folks a while back that they were wanting to go into some counseling. And I said, you know, that's fine if you wanted to go to a counselor. And you're going to get some nuggets here and there in that counseling session. You'll get some. But you won't get everything that you need. Because you go to a marriage counselor and they're going to give you some tidbits, and some things are good and some things are not so good in a marriage counseling. But they're not going to give you the whole package. They're not going to get you back to the root of the matter. Oh, and go and get counseling for your kid that's out of control. I'm going to tell you, the best counsel that you could ever get is out of the Word of God.
Yes.
You know why? Because it starts at the root of the matter.
Yes.
Right here with a number one first person.
Amen.
You see, oftentimes the counselors are going to blame, well, it's the husband here and it's the wife there and it's this and it's that. And they'll give you a way out and say, well, that wasn't fair for them and that wasn't right here. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't have yourself right, you can't get any of the other circumstances right. And that's what the Word of God teaches. You get a number one right first, and then you can start to be able to navigate through life's treacherous and tumultuous waters. Amen. What we believe about our salvation does matter, especially when it is considering all our future destiny.
Right.
Amen. Amen. We must adjust to the truth of God's Word.
Amen.
I must adjust to the truth of God's Word.
Yes.
You know, there's some of us that are sitting here today that we're so blessed.
Oh, Lord. Yes, sir.
And we don't even realize how much because of our living for God, or because of your contact
with the church, that God has blessed you, that God has kept you from certain situations, that God has led and navigated your life.
Yes.
Amen. We take it for granted.
Yep.
I understand that. We take it for granted. But I've got to adjust to the truth of God's word. If someone says that something is wrong, and then 10,000 of thousands of people say it's correct, it's still wrong.
That's right.
It's still wrong. I was teaching a Bible study just the other day to an individual that made the statement that she was raised Catholic. Now, I'm going to say right here at the outset of this, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just going to preach. I'm not here to destroy anybody's faith in whatever religion. That's not what this is about. I know I did say another religion, but I'm just repeating what she said to me.
Right?
So she says that she was raised Catholic, and all she knew was the rituals and the consistent repeating of repetitive nonsense prayers.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't say that, okay? The individual said that to me. All right?
Continually, she felt condemned, and the only thing that they had to offer were ritualistic prayers that meant nothing. She said, I can say them over and over and over again, but I never felt good. I never felt a release from the condemnation that I felt. Oh, am I thankful that I can get down on my knees and I don't have to say a certain prayer a certain amount of times, but I can just be real with Jesus and say, hey, Lord, I messed up. I don't know what to do. I failed here. Well, quite frankly, I need some help. I got myself into a predicament that I can't get out of, and I need help. Man, I like being able to do that. Man, I like being able just to be real with God and talk to Him like He's my best friend.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And I said, well, do you have a Bible? And she said, no, I don't have a Bible. And she said, because I remember as a little girl, they didn't want us to have a Bible.
Right.
They encouraged us never to read a Bible. They didn't want us to know what the Word of God said. Handed down tradition. We don't want you to know. Just trust us. Come and say these things. Confess to the priest. And that's where I got really excited, because I started talking about that. And I said, the Bible said, truth said, we have a high priest.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus Christ, the faithful. I no longer have to go to a confession booth and confess my sins. No, I can go to Jesus and Him alone and say, Lord, forgive me. Man, anybody thankful that you don't have to go to a priest anymore? You don't have to go and tell it all. You go right to Jesus and tell Him. Tell Him. All. Tell Him all. It was so exciting because as she began to say, they frowned upon us owning a Bible and ever reading a Bible. She said, so I never had one. I don't know. I said, I'm buying you one tomorrow. Well, it took me 3 days to do it, but I still bought her one. And I said, I want to give you a Bible. And I want you to understand that this, and as many times as I said this, I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all probably get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to say it again. You're looking at a preacher that hates religion. I hate religion. Religion has destroyed so many people.
Yes,
that's right.
Amen. That's not what this word is about. This word is about a relationship.
Yes.
Because of what happened in the garden, where sin separated God and man, separated the relationship that God intended to have. Sin separated that. And so He came and He died for our sins, not to bring us a religion. No, He died for us to get our relationship back with Him.
Lord.
That's what he's desirous of. He's sick and tired. He was sick and tired when he walked on the face of the earth. How many times did he say the Pharisees were hypocrites? How many times did he chew out the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the religious sect of that world? Because he was tired of their nonsense. He said, no, what I want people to have is me. What I want people to have is a relationship with me. I want them to know me. And that's why he said, oh, I'm way off my notes. He said, that's why I'm going to pour out my spirit into humanity, into mankind. Because I want a relationship with my creation. That's what this is about. It's about a relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. I got excited expounding to these things to this individual, and she lit up like a light bulb. I could see visibly her whole countenance changed. Her eyes were brighter. And she said, I asked her, I said, is this making sense? She said, this is the thing that has made the most sense that I've ever heard out of anything religious or otherwise. It makes sense. She said, I've always wondered how they separated God the Father and God the Son and God. She said, it was always so confusing. Who do I pray to? And then they encouraged us always to pray to Mary. And I'm thinking, why would we pray to Mary when we've got these gods? Well, come on. Well, now, why in the world would we pray to Mary when we got all this? When I began to explain to her about to where Jesus said, I and my Father are one, she goes, now that's what I'm talking about. Now that makes sense. I can understand that God Almighty robed himself in flesh and became a man. That's why he could feel the infirmities. That's why he could feel our pain, because he robed himself in flesh and he got his beard ripped out. He got spit upon. He got made fun of. And God wouldn't know how that felt unless he did that. Right. And so he did that. So every time I'm made fun of and I'm abused and I'm ridiculed, he knew how that felt emotionally. He knew what that did to the mind. He knew how that affected humanity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
But some react so stubbornly as the little boy did with his mother. One day that mother told the son to sit down and he refused. And she paddled his little behind and she said, I said, sit down. And immediately he stood back up. She did it again. And she said, sit down. And he stood back up. And she did it the third time. And she said, sit down. And he sat there on that stool, his arms folded and mean mugging his mama. And his mama said, what are you thinking, boy? He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And sometimes we get that stubborn streak inside of us. And that's the way some of us do. I'll do it, but I don't like it.
Right.
Really? All right. The audience of Aristotle, you saw them come down at the same time.
Right.
And yet you see it, but you still won't believe it. You see it in black and white, plain as day, but you cannot accept the truth for what it is. I pray this is not our attitude when it comes to the Word of God. Which brings me to this point of the lesson that I want to teach us. And when we talk about, and we look at modern churches or modern Christendom today, and the practice of baptism, of which I will say there are many that have foregone that and not don't do that anymore. To see a baptismal tank in a church is very, very rare anymore. They don't make that the pinnacle point, but it is still the pinnacle point of our salvation. It is the beginning foundation, the beginning road of our salvation is being baptized. But while we have an ecumenical church world that is just moving at a very fast and rapid pace, throwing things out that are not convenient. May I even say, as the Pope of the Catholic Church today, embracing homosexuality, embracing pedophiles, and embracing all kinds of nonsense, he even stated that atheists were going to be saved. And I wanted to scream when I read the article. Are you kidding me? How can you actually say this?
Well, am I the only one that's read that? I'm telling you the truth.
He said, all homosexuals, but yet the Word of God says that that's not going to happen. They say, what, you're being mad, you're a hater again. No. All liars are going to go. All liars are not going to be saved. Cheaters are not going to be saved. Just as well as it's all sin, okay? God doesn't calculate one sin greater than the other.
Right.
The same penalty for a liar is the same penalty for a murderer.
That's right.
God's fair in his word.
Right.
It's all sin to him. He don't care what it is, it's all sin to him. Got it?
Right.
Okay, so he's not being unfair. And so when I say that, but God loves the liar as well as he loves the murderer, as well as he loves the atheist and the homosexual.
Right.
He loves them all the same too. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So he has the same penalty because he sees it all as sin. But he's just as awesome on the flip side of that, that he loves every single one of them just the same.
Yeah.
Doesn't love their sin.
Right.
Doesn't love their lifestyle. Doesn't love their actions.
Yeah.
But he loves them.
Right.
He loves who they are.
Right.
That is his creation. Although they have defiled themselves, he loves his creation. And that's why he died.
Yes.
And that's why he wants all of them to know the truth of his word. Hey, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to act like that. I'm going to give you a way out. You don't have to have that sentence hanging over your head. I want you to come on with me, and I want to take you to heavenly places, and I want you to see heavenly things. I want you to experience real joy. I want you to experience real peace.
Amen.
Well, people say, well, man, that preacher's judgmental. No, I'm not judgmental at all.
Bless you, Lord. Bless
there's coming that day, but today's not the day of judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn it all around. No matter what it is, no matter what is going on in your world today, today is a good day to turn it around. Amen. And so we look at these modern churches and they don't baptize, or some of them baptize, but they use words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 28:19. And he said, and he talks about going therefore and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we have that argument constantly about the formula, if you will, of baptism. There's two basic ways that the religious world has deciphered, and we'll say it like that. You can be baptized under the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then there are those that baptize in the name of Jesus. Right? And that was contained in the very first message in the New Testament church in which we opened this morning in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Many will say, well, he didn't really obey the formula. He just did it in short form. No, he did it in right form is what he did. He did it in the name.
Yep.
Amen. So let's take a little bit of a journey. So in considering that the Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission of which Jesus had spoke and told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? That's our call.
Yes.
That's our duty.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Isn't it? Amen. Isn't that every Christian's duty is to preach this gospel?
Yes.
Yeah. To propagate the gospel, to be a witness to everybody, everywhere. That's what this is all about. Amen. And so Luke also records that Great Commission, Luke 24:45-47.
and it said, for the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So he did not say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the same instance of what Luke got out of what was being said, he said, I know what he's talking about. What he's saying is that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. So he uses emphatically and states emphatically, who's he talking about? Jesus. He's saying everything needs to be done in Jesus' name.